I'm Andrew.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Weekly Geek Speak, and you almost look like you're wearing tights, Steve.
Cool. I just pulled up my socks to show Scott the Batman tops.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I have seen the Batman symbol before.
But not on socks as glamorous.
And here's another clue to why he might be Batman, is his bruised knees.
Oh,
Batman always bruises his knees.
Batman always bruises his knees.
That's something. They cover that a lot in the films, but if you read the comics, there's quite a lot of stories about him bruising his knees. Yeah.
There's a famous story in the 90s, actually, the introduction of Bane, where Bane famously bruises both his knees. And puts Batman out of commission for at least an hour.
Little did they know, actually, that his name originally wasn't going to be Bruce Wayne, it was going to be called Bruce Knees. Oh, God.
Wow.
And it's downwards from here. Hello, welcome to Weekly Geek Speak. We're a weekly geek podcast. We utter words of geeky wisdom that is often not that wise into your ears on a weekly basis. You can find us on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher on Podcast Land, and probably some other places around that I've forgotten about over the years that Mike set us up on.
Yeah.
A name you rarely hear. But we're also on...
I genuinely forgot.
Mike did all our back work for Weekly Geek Speak.
He did, and he was amazing. So, late, weird shout out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Cheers for that work you did 3 years ago.
Thanks.
We never told you at the time.
Coffee's good. And yeah, follow us twitter.com/5671233. Weeklygeekspeak.com is the home of all things.
We're on Instagram as well.
We are. Instagram.
Although I forgot to upload the Bumpy Goose picture from last week.
We have a competition coming up this week. You'll hear that later in the podcast.
Cool.
We are running a Halloween competition with a Swift creation, Andrew Swift creation. He has given us some prizes.
Oh, sweet.
Super cool stuff. He is a designer of, he's a replica maker for replica props.
Yeah,
very talented.
They're awesome.
He does a lot of the kind of Friday the 13th masks. At this point, I don't know what he's offering, but he's got a few things together for us. So we'll be running this over the next few weeks. It'll be a Twitter-based competition, so do follow us.
Cool.
Weekly Geek Speak on Twitter. Mm. Yeah, it's been... I just want to say as well, we didn't really get a chance to thank them, all the people, all the indie comic creators that came out after last week's
review. They did.
We touched loads of people, and we managed to line up some interesting interviews. Some returning familiar names, some new names. Mark has even introduced us, not even benignly, to one of the guys as well.
Yeah.
So we've got lots of exciting things lined up. Next week we'll have an interview for you.
Cool.
This week you just have to put up with us. Which is lovely.
I'd love to be interviewed.
Mm.
Like in a job way. Because job interviews are horrible.
Yeah,
but like,
not good.
But you know, in a casual, like, who are you? What do you think? Sort of. We don't do that. We have a conversation with friends.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Imagine, like, if we both grilled Steve.
It was, I did though, I was interviewed recently by Dawn Fletcher, who is doing a research... some research on men's roller derby.
Okay.
So I was interviewed for about an hour and a half.
It was interesting.
And it's really interesting because you can be so self-indulgent. Like, you rarely get to sit down and think about and talk about you and your experiences and what you do and things. So it is really weird. And you just go, but you feel at the same time, like, I feel so, like... going on about myself, but that was kind of the point, you know? But you rarely get the opportunity to do that. I know in, like, conversation, it often goes, you talk about what you've done, they talk about what you do. But actually, just sit there and just go, well, tell me about it.
Just unfiltered, uninterrupted,
and
just encouraged to keep going.
Mm.
I don't know how I'd react.
I don't know what
everything I say is in a way, because I think someone's going to interrupt me at any given moment. That's why I say it real fast.
So yeah, actually on that point, quite exciting. I've been working with Finn, who is one of my skatey friends, working
skate
on a
documentary.
But it is related to this. Finn is making a documentary that will be shown at the Eden Film Production Festival in Sheffield.
Oh, wow.
Short film about roller derby, and because Finn is trans, it's his experience with roller derby and joining the Inhuman League.
Wow.
So because I've done roller derby filming and documentaries before, I went along to Eden Film Productions and had a chat with them about my experience and how I filmed it and things. But it's a really interesting subject matter.
That's cool.
So I'll be tweeting that on my personal one at Stuntman Psych if anyone's interested.
Nice.
The progress on that. But yeah, interesting filmmaking fun.
Sounds good.
No, it does.
It's nice to get your finger out and do filmy things every now and then. No. Sometimes you get so absorbed with work life and things.
This is it.
You
forget
to do the fun
thing. I feel like I've lost my creative streak. I need to do something more creative.
That's why, like, our good old follower, Mr. Paisley Burns, I have a lot of time for him because he has a band, he runs comics off all the time, he's always been creative.
Oh,
but by
is.
All accounts, he runs a day job as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
it doesn't stop.
And I probably do have the time for that, but you just go, I'm going to lie my face today.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Well, he's talented, and a lot of these people are talented, but the key thing is motivation. Mm. It's so easy to lose when you're just tired and give yourself to something that you do for a financial reason.
Yeah.
Because that's my main thing. Like, I'm just tired all the time. Mm. The only reason I'm able to podcast is because it's the exact same as if I came to just see you guys, other than you put a microphone in front of me and I have to gear it more towards someone listening.
And it's kind of like, we've kind of made it so rhythmic that we know that every 2 weeks we have to do it. And
exactly.
Definitely.
I pretty much run a Scott's diary that reminds him every 2 days.
Legitimately, he's like... Wait, can we record? Well, I've got a window, Saturday. Okay. Can you remind me 8 times, please? You only reminded me twice. I'm surprised I'm even here.
But yeah, good stuff. I watched, in the run-up to Halloween, which is coming soon, I watched Ghost Watch.
The
1992...
Was it a spectacle?
Hey! The 1992... BBC programme they showed on Halloween.
With pipes.
Live.
Oh, was that with Michael Parkinson?
Michael Parkinson, it had Craig Charles, and it was sold as a real thing and then terrified everyone.
Did it get a record number of complaints?
Yeah. It's really good. Even now you watch it and it feels like they've done such a good job with it, aside from one or two slightly ropey actors. It's well ahead of its time.
Mm, it was. It worked really well. We watched it a couple of years ago.
Mm.
It was,
It's something I've watched about 3 times now. No, I was talking to Ben Taylorson from the Closer to Midnight podcast. I want to say the JT Movie podcast.
And then
One of the Podpals Network, check them out. They've just started. They're really cool. But he was saying that he thinks it's one of the greatest bits of TV he's watched. And I don't know if I'd go that far, but it certainly isn't very imaginative and different.
Yeah.
And for 1992, when they weren't really doing that kind of stuff, I think it's incredibly
ahead
of its time.
Way ahead of the curve, yeah, definitely.
And Michael Parkinson carries it because he's very believable. He's such a great guy anyway. So.
No, he's awesome.
It's almost as good as Live and Kicking with Andy Peters.
Yeah.
Almost. And I don't think praise gets higher.
Do you know, you're joking. Well, I don't know if you are, but I remember there was a similar thing happened on... what was the one with Anton Deck?
SMTV Live.
I used to love
Chums
SMTV.
And Wonky Donkey and all that shit.
Once he played a trick, I think it was April Fool's, where he passed out while they were all doing this dance, and it was actually everyone just panicked and the show just went off. It was quite good. I like it when people trick things. It was probably rubbish now if you look back.
Yeah, but
in memory, it was a really moment.
That was huge, though, wasn't it? Ant Deck and Cat Dealey. That kind of made Ant and Deck.
We all love Cat Dealey. She smiles on our TV. That's what they sang on it.
That was brilliant.
I forget that happens, because now they're just in a sea of ITV schlock that
they still have it. I do think Ant and Deck, as cheesy as they are, always can make me laugh.
The Saturday Night Show, as much as it's like, oh, I'm watching this,
I'm a Celebrity is the one I like to watch, but then kind of zip through the
bits of what else.
Celebrities.
Give me cut down Ant and Deck bits.
Obviously, Ant and Deck socky comments.
Yeah. Obviously, they're making small innuendo penis jokes, which are almost not because they're so childish. Cool.
Beans.
Cool beans. Steve, you had a few little sections you're going to bring. Would any fit in nicely here?
I don't know.
Squeeze one in. Made a little.
Squeeze one in between my cheeks.
You've got 10 minutes to entertain us.
Here we are now. Entertain us.
We're so stupid.
There were two. It's not really sections, so these would fit nicely. There were questions on Reddit that I thought would be quite interesting just to chuck around.
On Reddit.
User Lazy Locky. What movie would you like to unsee and have a brand new experience? So watch again fresh for the first time ever.
It's so predictable. To the point I don't want to say it out loud. But it's true, it's my answer. I'd love to see the first two films more than Rises of Chris Nolan's Batman trilogy, because both times it was like a huge deal to me as a lifelong Batman fan. The first time I saw Batman Begins and being like, wow, they can do this properly. Because I love the Burton Batmans, but like that is, it's almost the Batman film. And then The Dark Knight, me and Andrew went together, and I explained it a lot. I was genuinely like, feel like I was waiting for a roller coaster or something. Mm. Like I was weirdly like psyched and nervous. And it's pathetic actually, because I'm just going to sit there and watch a film that's never going to go away. And, but like I was so excited, and then through that entire bank scene, I had such like weird waves of emotion, and I was just in. So to experience that again, because I don't think I'll ever experience that again. Weirdly,
yeah.
Not because I'm cynical or anything, just because
it was all the right things crossing.
It was just the perfect sort of, you know, culmination of things. So that's the only thing I can think of. Because whilst I enjoy a great many things, and it'd be great to see Star Wars again and go, wow!
Yeah, first time, like, not knowing.
I'd love that for a host of films, but in terms of a real magical cinema experience, I don't think I've ever come close to seeing The Dark Knight with Andrew on its opening day.
That's cool.
It's varying, like I'm changing your question a little bit. But there are a few films that I can even watch today and I still feel the same. Now, generally as a broad kind of spectrum, when you come to the Studio Ghibli films, they always can take me back to a happy... Like, they always put me in a happy place when I'm watching them. I feel I can genuinely lose myself in them every time I watch them. But one film I've been watching... I watched recently, actually, in preparation for the sequel, Blair Witch, which has just come out, which we'll talk about more next week. But Blair Witch Project is still a film that I can watch now, and it still makes me nervous.
Mm.
And I know people hate that film because they think it's boring or this, that, and the other, but it still makes me nervous. So I kind of do have that experience. Mm. I know what's going to happen. I know every beat of that film. I've watched it so many times, but it's still, I don't like it. It unnerves me, but I keep going back because I love it.
I'm always curious what makes a film like, because we all recognise a good film, we all recognise a great film, but there's that hidden sort of element that's a real indicator of a great film, which is rewatchability.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
But what makes rewatchability is a really hard thing to describe.
It is, because it's different for every person.
It really is, but I think part of it is if you can remember that, how it felt the first time you watched it, and you still see it with weirdly fresh eyes. Yeah.
I think,
despite the third or fourth view,
I
think the really good top tier Marvel films do that. Like Raiders of the Lost Ark and Jurassic Park, those really like iconic watchable thing. You do have a moment of, I remember watching this for the film.
That's a good one. Spielberg, a lot of his films, because he's so good at doing suspense, to watch them again.
Yeah.
I'd love to actually see just the Tyrannosaurus scene, that whole scene with the cards and the T-Rex again with fresh eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's nerve-wracking enough when you know what's going to happen and you've seen the film 50 times. But to see it for the first time, I must have been like, especially as a kid, on the edge of my seat, like terrified.
I mean, seeing Lost Boys in the cinema for me was, that was like seeing it all over again. That was,
did you report them to one of the ushers and get on with your film?
No, I just sat watching them.
Like this feeling of thrill and power. He knows where they are and no one else.
It's fine. It's making me feel like
Jurassic Park's been ruined for me now, because I discovered there's a thing on Facebook called Selena Scene.
Right.
Which is literally, someone takes a scene of a film and put "My Heart Will Go On"
to it. Yes.
And his theory is it'll improve every scene, and it weirdly true. However, one of them is like it's started like the music's starting to like tease up, and then suddenly the T-Rex bursts in. It's like, "You're here," and I'm like, "Oh, I'll never watch Jurassic Park the same."
Ruined.
Good stuff. What's next on what about you, though? Is there anything you want to?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, it'd been years since I'd seen Lost Boys, so getting to see it in the cinema on, like, that felt. But like you say, with I think with your childhood films, you can leave it years and watch them again, and you do get that kick. Like Scott said, you do get that feeling of, "Oh, I remember watching this.
I was trying to think of a twist film, but Lady Vengeance and Old Boy. I'd love to watch them again and not know the twist, you know, because they are great twists.
There's very few films, though, that I think are, like, incredibly twist-dependent, because, like, films like Seven and Fight Club, which are just Chuck Two Fincher ones out there, I still love those films, even though I know every aspect of it, the plot, because I just get something out of it. Unbreakable, if we're going to go to the King of Twists, and shout out what I still think is his best film and one of his only good ones.
Yeah.
I still get the same feeling the first time around, even though I'm fully aware of the main appeal of the plot, that's the twist.
Because kind of sometimes when you know the twist and you know what's coming, you pick up on more, don't you?
Because
you notice little things. You know, how did I not see that coming?
But I think the beauty
rather than being led down a dark tunnel, you see the entire sort of building for what it is, and you appreciate that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But I think as well is the what made Sixth Sense and Unbreakable work is there is more to the film than the twist.
Yeah,
whereas
exactly,
it became the twist in his later films.
Yeah.
I think
the twist.
Anyway, there's more.
And then the other one's just a silly one. Serial Narcissist was the Reddit user who asked, add "ing" to the end of a movie title. What's it about now?
My foot hurt. I've got cramp. Ing.
Which
so go on.
So Deadpooling. It's about a carpool.
Schindler's Listing.
Schindler's just writing it.
He's looking for people to work in his factory for the whole night.
He's just making a list.
Listing.
Him just
endlessly.
Just like 2.5 hours of.
Oh.
It's weird on the spot, but yeah.
It's one of those
Twitter memes.
Like, make a list. It's one of those Twitter memes, though, isn't it? Like, there's always one. Like, name a movie prequel.
And we could come back to it. We can leave that one and revisit it when we've had a think.
Let's have a think. So quite the homework is: have to bring three, and you've got to do a full synopsis of what that movie is. And even you, the listener, can join in with that. Come to us with it. And I want you to email weeklygeekspeak@gmail.com. Just come up with one. And I want a nice little synopsis, a paragraph of what this film is about.
The good and bad thing about that is he's giving me a substantial amount of time to come up with some. However, it will be exactly like this, trying to think of some on the spot in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll completely forget.
As long as you...
completely forget. Ironing Man.
Ironing Man, nice.
Ironing Man.
Yeah. That's one for free.
Cool, good stuff. Well, let us know yours.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to
say?
This open forum. Do you have anything you're chomping on the bit?
I've got Bioshock, the collection, the remastered collection on PS4, and I'm playing through Bioshock again, and it's just beautiful. I love it. It's possibly my favouritest game in the world ever.
Most favourite.
Yes.
sorry. I'm a very, very selective pedant. Like, the most selective pedant. People could be pedants about how selective I am a pedant. What I started doing is watching Attack on Titan.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
I just felt in a weird space where I was like, fuck it, I'll try it. And I watched one, and I went, oh, this is kind of good. And I watched two, and I went, yeah, it's not bad, this. And then somewhere along 4 or 5, maybe 6, something happens. I'm like, I won't say anything. I were in. Like, I watched 15 episodes in 2 days.
Wow. It's kind of, as well, it very much follows the Dragon Ball-y trope of when the battles happen, the battles that last for episodes, you know.
But that's when it's fucking great. Mm. Like, Frost.
Yeah.
Once that starts,
right,
I never look back.
Mm.
But I'm at a point now where it was a good pause point. And they've changed the opening, and that's rubbed a bit of magic off for me, because this, I got so psyched for that opening every time, because that opening's fucking badass, and they've changed it now.
Stick with it though, because the second half
I'm not going to say I'm not watching it again because it changes opening. I'm just saying, because it's a lot of all these shows are coming back, and Luke Cage like's dropped, and there's a lot, I'm juggling a lot at shows, so it's a good pause point in that that can sit there for a week or
mid-season
two.
Mid-season break.
Yeah.
So you've enjoyed it then?
I think it's really good. Like, I know it's like you just have to go to a Comic-Con to see everyone loves it.
And
I resisted a bit, and I loved the concept when it was explained to me, and then I saw the designs, I thought, that would look a bit goofy, but in context of the show, it really weirdly works. Because goofy as they look, they're fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like fucking, it's Walking Dead levels of shit.
And also, I don't know if you feel the same, but actually, you go in on the idea of fighting giants, but actually, there's some great character dynamics in
it. Oh, characters and politics and philosophy, and they really like that. That's why I chucked the Walking Dead weird comparison in there, because it really does examine, okay, it's a wacky concept, but. No, it's real. What would be the case? And it really just explores it a bit. Nice. It's really good, like genuinely good. I'm well in. So I'm quite psyched to see that live action film now. Have you seen it yet?
I've seen there's two parts of it. It's not brilliant. It's not terrible, but it's not. Because it kind of bundles up the characters and pulls them out again, and they've all got traits from other ones. It kind of changes the history that apparently this is 100 years from our time, so it's a post-apocalyptic thing. A really good opening scene with where they put a lot of work into the giants, and then you suddenly get halfway through the film and they look tacky. It lacks a lot of the time and care that the characters have, and it just does things that just seem pointless.
Right.
So it's not terrible. It's interesting to see how it's done differently, but the same. It's not a scratch on there.
The game's meant to be incredible. I mean, from the demo that we saw at Comic-Con and the reviews I've read online, it sounds like it's fucking awesome. It looks really good.
Yeah. Well, that weirdly made me watch it. Actually, I think I watched Game Grumps and they have a show called Steam Train, and they played the game for a bit.
Right.
And I thought, I almost viewed it as a weird like teaser thing,
because
whilst I hear about Attack on Titan, I've seen like very broad images and designs. I like don't know how it interacts in any way. We are watching the show, so I just watched them play the game for like not even that long, because they started talking about it to the point I'm like, if I'm going to watch it, I should stop.
Yeah,
but I just watched it for a bit. And yeah, I get that. I'm going to watch that.
Nice. Cool.
So,
what do you have, actually?
I recommend it to anyone.
I need to get around to it. I watched the first two, but that was ages ago.
Oh, man. At least get...
start again.
Just get to... The episode titles will tell you. Just get to the Battle of Frost and a couple episodes...
Frost, I think it is.
Well, yeah, T-H. It's because I can't pronounce my T-H's. It's always a th.
Frothing.
Just get that far, and then if you're not in, then you'll never be.
I'm juggling.
Like, I was enjoying it to the point I was happy to continue, but there were flip switch moments where I just went,
I know what you
new
did,
favorite so. Like, boom, I'm in.
Okay.
Because I genuinely felt, and I don't feel, because I'm a nihilist.
Good stuff.
It's time for the news. It's my turn. So Ben Affleck's solo Batman movie is well over a year away. We do know a few key details that aren't what fans expected, apparently.
Or do we?
Yeah. You see, it would seem that Affleck is changing the iconic Nightfall story arc by replacing Bane with Deathstroke as the main antagonist, apparently.
Pure conjecture.
We've seen a glimpse of Slade Wilson seemingly walking into the Batcave, deducing that he's figuring out Batman's identity, and that's what people are sort of seemingly running with at the minute.
Hold up. When did we see that?
Apparently there's a thing online. Yeah, there's a clip online of Slade Wilson in the Batcave. There's some images have been...
Where the fuck have I been?
...leaked. God knows. It's Batman news. I thought you'd be all over that. That's why I opened with it. I thought you'd be all over it.
Batcave.
Slade Wilson Batcave.
Yeah. You can tell how busy a week I've had, can't you? Are you sure?
Yeah.
I feel like
I'd not escape that on the internet though. The way I'd play, if you are committed to making Deathstroke Batman's antagonist in a film, and he's not a bad one to pick at all, he's one of my favourite DC villains actually. I usually don't associate with Batman, I see more of a DC villain.
Mm.
And with Batman, with the most impressive rogues gallery in comics, it's weird. It's a weird pull, but not a bad pull. Because he's kind of the mercenary Batman in many ways. But if you have to do it, the way to play it is 100% do the Nightfall thing.
Mm.
Right.
100%.
You think that would work then as a...
Would. I've not had it confirmed. I think it's just a well-held, like... Everyone shares the opinion that that's probably how you'd do it. Mm. But the reason that I'm not convinced, it probably will be, and they might be teased for it and all the rest, but the reason it might not be the Batman film is because there was a picture the other day of Zack Snyder storyboarding with like a bat gauntlet on, just as a whatever, and obviously the internet blows it up to see what he's drawing and stuff, and he's clearly drawing Deathstroke.
Okay.
Which tells me Justice League. But why would he be in Justice League? If he's in Justice League, he'll probably just be an opening to introduce Batman, and then, which is probably, in terms of exposure of villains, is probably his position. But then he deserves greater exposure because he's a great character.
So. I don't think he will be a main character. If they've released that kind of thing, I think they're just tickling people to make them excited. Personally.
As much as I'd love a Deathstroke Batman film and love Deathstroke, I don't feel like he's a pull. Like,
I think that
DC in fight Deathstroke, like, do you know what I mean?
That DC universe has a lot of the bigger villains to touch, and I think they'll go with the bigger villains.
Right.
You can sell a film on Batman, like, we've seen it, yeah. But Batman vs Joker, Jared Leto's meeting Ben Affleck, people will go to that, people will know about that, people know those characters. If you go, look at this dude, he's going to fuck Batman up.
Mm.
Whilst I love it, and every DC fan will love it, you're still asking them to, you're introducing someone.
Yeah.
Rather than going, the person you know is back, which is a big appeal of these films, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
I suppose Harley Quinn aside, Suicide Squad kind of threw... Did that, didn't
yeah.
Well, he was heavily rumoured to be in Suicide Squad, wasn't he? They clearly have plans for Deathstroke in the universe, which is great because he's a great character. But where he's fitting, there's a lot of teasing and conjecture and double guessing. But it's clearly about, which is exciting enough.
Yeah, it's all good. It's been over 50 years since its release, but Mary Poppins still remains a Disney classic. The film is an adaptation of P.L. Travers' novels. Decades later, we're getting a sequel. Co-star Lin-Manuel Miranda has shared details of the film in a recent interview. So Michael and Jane Banks have grown up, and Mary Poppins comes back to take care of the kids when they find themselves in trouble. A lamplighter named Jack, who grew up as an apprentice to Bert, that was Dick Van Dyke's character in the original, will kind of be the excitable, "Ooh, you don't know about Mary Poppins?" Set 20 years after the original during the Great Depression.
Controversial opinion time.
Yeah.
Don't like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, it's controversial. I love Mary Poppins.
It's a great film.
But
aside from Mary Poppins flying in with a little umbrella and doing things, the thing's about banking, isn't it?
And do you not like that?
Foreclosure and...
boring. Yeah. Children, let's do some magic. No, let's learn about banking procedure.
Which is
I'm
good.
Not sure it's that bad. I haven't seen the film for years, but I've decided it is that.
The only thing with that is, part of the appeal of Mary Poppins is... She's a magical figure, isn't she?
Yeah.
Like, she comes from above to improve the lives of these
people.
She's a witch,
yeah.
She's like this perfect, like, Christ-like answer.
Yeah, she's floating
of a nanny, isn't she?
Handbag full of, yeah.
So I'd imagine she goes around the world doing that.
Yeah.
Not just popping in and out of this one family's life.
Yeah.
Periodically.
Well, maybe she does. I mean, it's based
on... I feel
that's
just a bit too much connective tissue. You could just go, Mary Poppins 2, she's over there.
Yeah. Well, similar to Jumanji, like we say, it's a board game that goes everywhere. And this is a continuation. Mary Poppins, like you say, doesn't have to be...
I just envisaged the IMDb synopsis, Mary Poppins 2, she's over there.
Beetlejuice
starring The Rock.
Beetlejuice 2 is a good example. Beetlejuice 2 is a good example of this. They'll want to get Winona Ryder all the rest. Beetlejuice is Beetlejuice, and I imagine there's a lot of people he can fucking harass.
I doubt he would, I imagine his character would just wander around annoying people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't have to tie him to the same characters all the time, especially if it naturally wanders.
Mm.
Because then you have it more almost anthology-like, don't you?
Yeah.
Of this constant. But that's just I genuinely don't care about the plot of Mary Poppins 2. I just care if it's a bit charming and not heretic, I can't speak. If it's not blasphemous to the original, it's fine. And,
Christmas Day 2018 is the release. So
have you got John Favreau's new project on your news?
Quite possibly. I have. Michael Caine. just checking.
What a tease.
I thought you'd read the next story, so you were leading nicely.
No, I just thought, because we're talking Disney adaptations, I was just making sure you've touched on it.
Michael Bay. This is a weird one. I'm going to go Michael Bay.
Talk
about it later. Where is it?
Don't change my order.
I can't find it. Now
don't worry, just go away. We'll discover it along the way.
God damn it. Michael Bay's confirmed that Winston Churchill will be a character in Transformers The Last Knight.
Transformer himself?
I don't know. Filming is underway in the UK now and apparently has come under controversy as pictures emerged of the late Winston Churchill's house covered in Nazi flags as part of the movie. He's responded by saying, "When you see the movie, you'll understand." The film's out in February next year.
It'll just be a flashback to World War II.
Yeah.
Done.
There you go.
They've done it before in Transformers films.
Have they?
Teaser history of... Oh,
right, because I've not seen any of them, so I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be like a cube or an ancient Transformer. And then Churchill or Hitler will hide them, and then they've been hidden all the time, and now they're waking up, and Optimus has to stop it.
Okay.
And then 8 hours of CGI later, you just wonder what happened.
And Optimus Prime's died 3 times.
Yeah, there's no intrigue there.
No.
I don't care.
Moving on.
But I'm pleased to know no historical figure is safe from Michael Bay.
Exactly.
When you know Optimus Prime dies every 2-4 seconds.
Optimus!
He's on the floor going, "Sam, you must know. Optimus, you've grazed your knee. Get up."
I think he's a very dramatic person, isn't he? He's when
it's not a cold.
When men get sick, it's like, "You don't understand.
Illest anyone's ever been in the world.
It's bot flu, it's not normal flu."
It's the sport, is the robot equivalent of a football player. Isn't it? Like, as soon as they talk to him, it's like, "Oh!"
Get up. The Ghost in the Shell manga is over 25 years, but still looks as futuristic as it did then. But when it was released, the animated film remains one of the best animated films from Japan. We are getting a live-action version next year in 2017, featuring Scarlett Johansson in the lead role. We got some teases online that give us a short glimpse into Rupert Sanders' take. There were 5 10-second clips that definitely show the influence of the comic. The film will be out March 2017.
That's a big claim.
They looked pretty sweet.
Best animated film from Japan.
It's one of it's down as one of the best.
It's a big claim, though.
It is.
Matsumi Shiro,
in terms of Western impact and cultural status from Japan, it'll be up there. You just made a very blanket statement about all of Japan's animation.
It was quoted in the article as a. I was merely.
I think
in that 90s movement of manga, Akira, Ghost in the Shell, Dominion Tank Police, that kind of stuff is all up there. I've seen the clippy clips.
Yeah, what did you think? Because you're a big fan.
They've kept the original characters, so it's good that they've not just gone, "Oh, she's a great character, let's put her in an American world," which they kind of have in a way. But they've kept the original characters, so there's a lot of. The guys from there, which is cool, and hopefully they will. If they follow some of the work that's been done before, if it is a retelling of any of the stories that they've done in Ghost in the Shell, I'd be very happy. If they're doing some alternate take on it, I'm not sure how I'd be happy. There has been complaints of earlier when she was cast and things, whitewashing with the character. She should be Japanese. She's not actually a human, so she's an android, so she can look like anything, really.
Yeah.
And if you think about how she does come across in the thing, I think Corsican's fine. I'm not too bothered about it. Imagery is... you've only really seen characters, so you've only seen the character imagery. There is more around the world, and it's got to be like... relatable. I think, like, if you... a cleaner... like, if you took, let's say, the Demolition Man world and took the Dread world...
I'm in.
And kind of mixed them...
I'm in. I'm so in.
Yeah.
That's the kind of feel I want
you
it to
put
be
me in.
I want it to be a believable future that they take in. Yeah. Like technology, this is. I always felt like when you watch Ghost in the Shell, this is believable technological advancements.
Yeah. Okay.
But then they're also ignoring the fact that there's horrible refugees and there's a great load of politics that go with Ghost in the Shell. It's not just about a cool character who can shoot people.
Yeah.
That comes across sometimes if you just look at the DVD cover. There's a lot going on. It's about theory of who, what we are, and what is existence.
The
whole political issues in the TV series and things. So I think there's a lot of place it can go. It's just got to... I don't want it to be exactly like the source material, but it's got to be very...
Is that your big fear, that it'll be diluted down to its base? Girl shoots in the future.
Cool girl shooting in the future, kind of, because we see it so many times with
Aeon Flux
and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's a lot of intelligent, interesting stuff, and I want it to... It doesn't have to be perfect, you know. I'm not looking for that, but I'm looking for it more to be focused on what makes Ghost in the Shell great.
Subtext and imagery, and you'll be down.
And it's already going the right route if we've got the existing characters behind the Section 9 characters in there. Which means hopefully it will be going along the lines and looking into that kind of stuff. So
cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a bit trepidant, but the things like I've learned over the years is adapting comics and properties that you love can be good.
Yeah.
Whereas it used to be lazy, and nowadays we're in a world where Dread's being made, and that was awesome, and Preacher we're very happy with, and that's a very impressive. So I know that they can do it well. And this has made me go, okay, maybe. Yeah.
But I think but the way they do it well is by understanding the tone, appeal and characters and being a bit fluid with the trajectories. Because if you try and be too reverent, it doesn't always work. Look at Marvel Civil War, for instance. Mm. They couldn't have done a Civil War like the comic Civil War. So they made it fit what they've established.
Yeah.
So to make the best film possible.
Yeah.
So, and Preacher, like, it's got all the things we want right, and then it's a whole different thing. So I'm sure if it... Because Andrew's got the animated films, he's got the show, he's got... that's not going anywhere, is it?
No.
You don't just want that again.
No. But it needs to be related to that at the same time.
Exactly.
I'm worried about Hollywooding.
It's a weird balance, though, isn't it? It's not just like, do exactly like this! Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got that.
You want something a bit.
But it's also, don't make it unrecognisable.
Yeah.
Because what's the point?
You could
do that with anything. Makes money.
Yeah. Cool beans. Kevin Feige. Kevin Feige. Yeah. Has revealed that Stanley, who's now 90.
Kevin Frog.
Who's now 93. That's amazing. Has already filmed his next four Marvel movie cameos.
What? Kevin Feige's not 93.
Stanley is.
Did you say Stanley?
Yeah. Revealed.
Did you
look at
it, Stanley?
Yeah, revealed.
I completely omitted that.
said they don't shoot random ones; they're always specific. He said they were awesome. They're all totally different, and Stanley was just unbelievable in all of them. It's great that he's still enjoying it and loving it.
It's like a cool cameo that became a running gag that became a weird like obligation. It's cool, and I never want it to stop until obviously he can't. Mm. But like, I don't look forward to them.
No,
I really don't. And it does weirdly take me out of the film every time.
I still like our fan theory.
Yeah, that is a clone.
That is where the character that was in The Incredible Hulk got
a clone power.
And
he's slowly taking over the world, and no one's noticed yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always an interdimensional kind of. He can change.
And there's been some good ones. I still think the Amazing Spider-Man one's my favourite.
What happened there?
He was the janitor of the school, and he had his earphones on, and he was just getting about his business while Spider-Man and the Lizard fight behind him.
That was incredible.
Because that services the film, so it doesn't take you out. It just gives you a bit of levity during an action scene. Whereas usually it's like, let's derail this because Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So that was a brilliant one.
But yeah, he's
I think Tony Snark or whatever it was one of the worst.
Stank.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Stank.
It was just, yeah. quite an intense Marvel film where, like, a lot of the levity's in the middle. It's a bit like, what's this weird joke at the end about? this is not the point. This is not the time. But, yeah, you know, it's like we've got to always remember Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, so on, Joe Simon, so on and so on. But he's a legend that's helped create a universe.
He's incredible. So
whenever he's honoured, you just tip your hat, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Back in May, we were teased the notion of a four-way TV show crossover in the form of Arrow, Flash, Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow. Well, all the seasons have restarted as autumn begins and the TV shows start to roll out the new seasons, but CW have now revealed details of the crossover. The heroes will come together to fight DC's genocidal aliens, the Dominators. They appeared in Adventure Comics in the 60s. The species would pester the Legion of Superheroes. Using cutting-edge prosthetics and computer effects to achieve feature film quality, they've said they're going to stay faithful to Todd McFarlane's interpretation of the characters. And there's no release date for this as yet.
Just a crossover bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Are they good villains?
It's really funny though, isn't it? Because the DC films are really like po-faced and earnest and dark and mature, and then Marvel get all this like light, levity, fun, and then you look at TV and Netflix shows are really cool, dark, mature, and then DC on film are just really light and fun and breezy. And they've all got that going. So whilst that should be like, oh, that sounds like a mess, I just know it'll be weirdly, incredibly fun.
Mm.
And on TV, no less, that's an Avengers-style, Infinity War-style crossover. Just on television.
Yeah, just happening.
Do you know what I mean? Just for a week of television.
Yeah.
It's amazing, it's great. I'll enjoy the shit out of that. I don't know what I was going to do.
Yeah.
If you got Supergirl and Flash and a bunch of superheroes, and I was like, bing! Boom!
He can bring some his other superpower is being unnecessarily broody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be Batman broody. So badly.
Brooding.
I'm joking, I was great.
All good things sadly have to come to an end, and Adventure Time, Cartoon Network's biggest show, is to come to an end in 2018, 8 years after it first began. The 9th season, which is currently in production, will be the last, with specials and miniseries coming in the run-up to the final in 2018. But it's paved the way for things like Regular Show, Steven Universe, with its unique style of weird, funny and heartwarming storytelling.
Rick and Morty as well.
Rick and Morty.
To answer to Adventure Time. Yeah, it was incredibly brilliantly silly, good show which appealed to children and immature adults alike. It is brilliant. It's just so zany, and I think it harks back to the silly kind of Ren and Stimpy kind of things, but is so original at the same time. And you can watch it as a kid and go, ha ha, look at that silly guy. And then you can watch it as an adult and go, it's pretty funny.
Yeah,
I legit don't know any children that watch it.
No, grown up.
but you know, it's done a job.
It has.
It's definitely got the people. I can't escape it anywhere I go. And I've never really watched it, so it's one of those weird things you're bombarded by.
And yeah,
you don't
and
understand,
you know enough about.
You don't understand when it started or why it started. You just know it's been a weird constant for a while. So it must be good. I don't doubt it.
I've seen the first couple of seasons. That's about it.
I played Adventure Time Flux.
Oh yeah,
That taught me a bit. I know there's like sweet things, and we played Munchkin as well. So yes, I know there's like sweet. I know there's a Game Boy.
There we go, yeah.
How was the Game Boy?
Yeah.
BMO.
BMO. That's it. My mind went blank then. But yeah. So yeah, kind of sad, but kind of good that they're not letting it go on forever. Kind of nice. It's
going to have an end.
Well, not Simpsons, exactly. There you go. Exactly.
It's like the example, though, isn't it? Like, if Simpsons had ended 10 years ago, yeah, we might have missed some episodes some people like. I'm sure there's good ones out there somewhere. But it's just not the same show.
No.
And if you end it, you keep a status, keep a perspective, perception. Because The Simpsons, if we're being honest, probably the greatest show ever made.
Mm.
No, controversial opinion. Like I said, I'm not a fan.
Okay, but
not
like,
a fan.
But for the first,
not
a quite
fan.
A lot of seasons. I don't want to put a number on it, but like, it helped shape most people's humour of our generation.
To explain to Steve, statistically, it's probably the personal opinion.
We try to put an objective thing on a subjective thing, but in terms of trying to prove such a statement, Simpsons more than anything could brag it, couldn't it?
Mm. Yeah, totally.
But it's not held that way at all. No. Because it's this weird constant over there, like Saturday Night Live almost, and it's like, it'll never, ever end.
That's a stupid quote from South Park, but that's pretty much it. Simpsons has done everything.
Yeah.
And influenced a lot.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's it.
Great episode. 3 years ago, Valve announced they'd be working with producer J.J. Abrams on movie adaptations of the gaming franchises Half-Life and Portal. And I got super excited, but it all went quiet. That is until now. Abrams has said in a recent interview that the movies are very much still in development. And he's hoping there's going to be a Portal announcement very, very soon.
They're very much in development is not particularly a good thing to say, because some things stick in development.
I know,
forever,
development hell forever. But he's
development
hoping...
Development means someone somewhere is writing a script.
Yeah.
I guarantee you someone somewhere is writing a script of everything you can imagine.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's getting made.
All-Star in The Rock.
Obvs.
But I'm excited. I'd love to see
the
Portal as a movie.
The concept of Portal is fantastic.
Yeah.
And that in a movie sense could be amazing.
It could be. Could be beautifully done. And Half-Life, I don't know much about, but I know the fan base is enormous.
Yeah, Half-Life 4, everyone knows all about. Is it that?
Three.
Is it one that they won and be promised for years and never get? Yeah.
They did 1 and 2 and then they've never done
that.
That's
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's a Rare Games franchise which was never bludgeoned into the ground with
so everyone demands it on the year
sequel,
every year
but yeah, well, more on that as it happens. But yeah, like you said, he's hoping to announce something about Portal soon, so we'll see where that goes.
I wasted 6 hours the other day playing GTA 5. Not wasted, but I sat there for 6 hours because I wanted to change my character.
Okay.
But then if you change your character, you've got to start from level 1 again.
What?
But I retained the money. But I wanted to buy my character a nice house, but then I had to get to level 5, so I spent 6 hours trying to get to level 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
I loved that day.
That's gaming.
That's a good day.
That is gaming in a
nutshell. I never got there either. I'm nearly there.
I'm so fazy with games, though. Like, I'm always playing some version on a phone or whatever, but like, I'll just go months and months and months and months and not touch one, and then I'll just have a few months where... on Pokemon Football Manager, Grand Theft Auto, Arkham game, I'm just gaming all the. I don't know why I'm such a phasey person.
Yeah,
are you a phasey person?
I go through phases. Yeah,
is everyone a phasey?
No, I
person?
Go through phases.
I feel particularly phasey. Everyone else seems really consistent.
No,
but then I feel I'm such a phasey twat.
No, I go through phases.
Okay,
all the time. Talking about games, I messaged James earlier a screenshot that said Championship Manager now available for iPhone and Android. I just put, what? No, I can't. Downloads, locks off inside.
Championship Manager is the thing you download while you wait for Football Manager.
But yeah. So 2017 sees the release of the third movie in the Planet of the Apes trilogy, War of the Planet of the Apes. We've got a synopsis. Potential spoilers if you haven't seen the other two, I suppose, I could call.
Skip ahead 5 seconds.
Yeah.
15 seconds is a nice one because you've got a little button.
Yeah,
15 seconds from now.
Apes are forced into a deadly conflict with an army of humans led by a ruthless colonel. The apes suffer a massive, unimaginable loss. Caesar wrestles his darker instincts and vows to avenge his kind and ends in an epic battle. Woody Harrelson will start as the colonel. Sounds pretty sweet.
Well, I don't like the fact that the humans are now rallying round. I think they need getting rid of. I want to see Planet of the Apes. I want at the end of this film to see whether that in hundreds of years this is when Charlton Heston will arrive. You know.
Well, we're promised a war, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
I've always appreciated its cult status as a sci-fi bastion in history, but like. Never been that into it. It was like it's a kooky film with a famous ending, and I was never that into it. Then I watched the Tim Burton one, and I always thought it was terrible. And then Rise of the Planet of the Apes came around, and I just wasn't that bothered. But I watched it one day, and these modern ape films, are so fucking good.
Yeah,
that I love it now. Yeah. I'm so in. Yeah. Like it's been a few years even, but Rise is so good. Like, it really just... I think people take the wrong way... Sometimes misunderstand what we mean when we say this, but a smart blockbuster.
Mm.
Not like... You can't follow it smart. Not it reinvents the wheel smart. Not it's like two goes over people's head smart. Just doesn't insult your intelligence.
Yeah.
Doesn't rush. Tells a story.
Builds a nice story. Smart builds a world. Yeah.
And then the sequel's the same.
Yeah. They were both brilliant.
That again, I'll be all over that. It'll be one of the films of the year.
Yeah.
And in. All kinds of it.
Definitely. Super, super.
That's almost like Shakespeare with apes.
It was.
Fantastic.
It was beautifully done. Really, really
good. In fact, you go, oh, I don't want to be with the humans now.
Yeah, put the apes back in.
It's more ape drama.
Ape drama. The spin-off TV series.
But I really liked how they developed, like, especially like Cobra's character. I think it's great because he's not... even though he is the villain of the piece, you can see why he has gone the way he's gone.
Of course. Yeah, you know, and I do hate him in that film, but I like hating him.
Yeah, so clever.
Because villains are the hero of their own story, and Cobra very much is, but you hate him. That's a good villain.
Mm-hmm.
They're two marks of a very good villain.
Damn straight. And lastly, we mentioned it, we've got around to it. Jon Favreau tweeted, excited for my next project, with a lion and a crown emoji. The tweet disappeared, it reappeared, it was deleted, it came back. Apparently there was a bit of a weird fraud. Well, Disney have now released an official statement that Lion King will be Jon Favreau's next movie, a live-action classic of the live-action version of the 1994 classic is on fast track to production. The film will feature all of the songs from the original animated movie. Mm-hmm.
That was going to be a key thing I was going to ask, because Jungle Book's great. He did an absolute brilliant job with it. It's the best sort of, like, if you watch Jungle Book, you're so into this, because I can imagine him playing with lions in the same way.
Exactly.
But what Jungle Book does is take two real iconic songs and does them in a kind of cool, digestible way in this live-action film. Whereas that was my big fear. I wouldn't want that for Lion King, because it's got one of the most solid, beautiful soundtracks of any Disney film. That is a huge part of the film, because otherwise it's just Hamlet with lions, and that's great.
That's cool.
But it's the songs that make it what it is.
It is.
A couple of things. One... Live action, will it be? Because there's no human characters in there.
Yeah.
So unless it's filmed on a normal background, and then obviously the animals are CGI.
I take it to mean a CGI film. Mm. But it'll be like The Jungle Book.
A realist CGI.
Without that, real thing in the focus.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want is...
Sasu's real.
Designed by a human.
Bananas.
One thing I want, though, the only bit of casting that I think should be kept is I really would like James Earl Jones.
I was going to say this. Yes. If you do it this way, you could essentially have the same cast.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Toby Irons, James Earl Jones, Rowan Atkinson.
Matthew
Broderick.
Yeah.
More than anyone, definitely Mufasa, that I think that voice is too iconic for you not to use again.
Yeah exactly.
Mira agrees.
Mm. And if anything, watching Lion King live made me realise it's if you keep that core story, characters and songs intact, it's the fucking Lion King, and everyone loves the Lion King.
Yeah. Hey.
And let's be honest, and it's like the Disney film, because it's all just seems perfect.
Mm. Mm.
But these little action things, it's not like impressive as a spectacle. It was for the time in animation terms, but I mean like. You can make that a real spectacle, and that's all you'd have to do to improve that, because that's the only area you could really improve.
Yeah.
Because all the rest is so perfect.
So
whilst that seems hypocritical, because I said earlier, what's the point, because you've got that over there.
Touché.
I can imagine a really cool live-action version of it.
With the same,
fucking make shitloads of money, that.
It will.
Shitloads.
I'm well in.
Before we jump into This Week the Geeks Have Spoken, it's time for me, as I alluded to before, to mention the Weekly Geek Speak Halloween competition. And this time we are working with a Swift creation. We've mentioned
his work before, but Andrew Swift's creation creates replica props from popular movies, especially focusing on horror movies. We have a brilliant bundle to give away. Great prizes, actually. A Halloween bundle that consists of the Friday the 13th Jason Voorhees mask, which I believe is from part 7. We also have an American Horror Story clown mask and a Jareth the Goblin King amulet necklace. Awesome. You can find pictures of those on our Twitter and Facebook. And incidentally, it is Twitter and Facebook where you can enter the competition. To enter, if you're on Twitter, retweet the tweet for the competition and follow at Weekly Geek Speak and tell us your favourite horror movie. If you do all those three things, you will be entered into the draw. Likewise, you can also enter on Facebook. All you have to do is like our page, Weekly Geek Speak, and comment on the post after sharing it, which is your favourite horror movie. So, quickly again, Twitter, retweet, follow Weekly Geek Speak, and tell us your favourite horror movie. And also Facebook. Find the page, Weekly Geek Speak, find the post, share that post, and just tell us your favourite horror movie. And while you're at it, you should follow at A Swift Creation to see his work, and you can also find him on Etsy, where he sells all the great work that he does. So yeah, get involved. This competition will run until the end of October, and your prizes will be sent out at that point. Thank you so much for entering. It's time to hand back to me. Oh, we've had some news, we've had some discussions, and now we arrive at the bit where you say your words. What time is it, Steve?
It's time for This Week the Geeks Have Spoken.
Glorious! It's a thing now.
I like it. Thank you kindly for all your interactions, three-word reviews, retweets, likes, shares, follows. Lovely to see Twitter growing daily. It's great. Thank you, guys.
You mean our Twitter, or just Twitter in general?
Just Twitter in general. You're
just a big fan of Twitter. Yeah.
Thank you, at Twitter.
Thanks, Twitter. Yeah. Two thumbs up. But yeah, cheers. We'll start with a three-word review. Man of many names who's now, well, he's kept the same name after he had a beer named after him, which is super cool. But Hoptimus Tanline, at Sparky
Wright.
Which
is still a good name.
Which is, that's, yeah. I don't know if the beer's still available, if it was a limited run.
What would your beer need be? Would it be your name or your
Are you still Buttercup Camel Toe, or did that change?
No, I changed it. I can't. Like, what have I changed it to?
Old Sweaty Bastard.
Old Sweaty Bastard.
I do like your skate name, Jazz Pirate. I think that could be a potential
Jazz Pirate
beer.
Would be a good beer. Yeah? What would yours be?
I don't know. I don't have many nicknames or pseudonyms or aliases.
That you want to tell us.
No.
Those hotel weekends.
Priscilla, I go by.
Yeah.
No, quite boring name wise.
No, would you ever, what would you name a beer? If someone said, Andrew, we're naming a beer after you.
Well, it would, the only nickname I really have is Stuntman, isn't it?
Yeah.
Skating. Yeah.
Packs a powerful hoppy punch.
Hoppy. Hoppy punch.
I don't know.
Like a rabbit.
But yeah, Optimus Tanner, that's Sparky Wright. Batman vs. Superman, what a mess. And Gregor J, at Gregor _J, said, still haven't seen it. And Sparky says, you're the lucky one then.
Which divides people.
Yeah.
Well, it's incoherent. Even its biggest supporters can't argue the fact it's got issues. And honestly, if I could do anything with that film, if like I was giving it tomorrow to do a cut, I'd just cut two dream sequences and the floaty bit of that first dream sequence, and I think it's immediately a better.
Yeah.
Add a few of the unlimited edition extras to fill that time so the plot makes more sense. I think you got a better film.
Nice.
But, you know, it divides people.
It does.
I suppose I do my three-word reviews as
Ooh,
well.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Sense. I do my three-word reviews a couple of weeks after, so you can listen to Recommend Eatman. It doesn't spoil anything.
Cool.
So I've tweeted Blackmail, silent version, because this was the film that me and Steve saw
yeah.
in the 1920s cinema that we have. It was very lucky to
fantastic.
Have in Sheffield.
Yeah.
This was the silent version, because there was a sound version and a silent version. It was fell in a very small time, and this is a Hitchcock film, where the studio said, right, there's not enough sound cinemas, but so you need to make two films here. Yeah. So this was the silent version, and my three-word review is Andra's expressive performance, because Annie Andra is the actress in there. She's a German actress, and you really could see how she was a silent movie star, because her reaction to things were just
expression.
But she was like a doll. She was gorgeous, and she was just. I actually thought there were some ropey performances. I wasn't particularly impressed with the policeman guy, her boyfriend, who she cheated on. He wasn't that like absorbing, but she really did carry the film.
She did own it,
and also the blackmailer carried the film quite a lot as well.
And weren't you saying that in the talkie version, it wasn't her voice.
But yeah, 7 out of 10.
Nice.
The Illusionist, which we mentioned, but we've
read Edward Norton.
Not that one.
Not that one.
Subtle, beautiful, sad, 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd thoroughly echo that. Brilliant.
The Dark Knight Rises. Wonderfully paced masterpiece. 9 out of 10.
At the time, I thought that was divisive. But that was before I realised what divisiveness really was. it's a better film than people seem to give credit for.
I think it's better paced than The Dark Knight, which seems to have a big clunk into that last section. But it's fine. It's still a great film. But this one just really goes to a beat of a drum. This one,
the reason people don't see it that way is because of the absence of Batman. Mm. But it's a fair comment now.
Hellboy, which I recommended last week. Mm-hmm. Lovecrafty comic brashness. 7 out of 10.
Yeah, nice. That's good. It's great. Mm-hmm. Won the recommend, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
Did
Steve
it not?
Did.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry.
God bless America.
Sorry, I tried to rob you of your moments.
Look at that. Just.
Should have.
Could have.
Inside, or Le Interieur, which I decommended reluctantly. Was mean but great. 7 out of 10.
I want to watch that.
Wolf of Wall Street, my favourite Scorsese. 9 out of 10.
What's your favourite Scorsese, Steve?
And that was it.
I don't know.
Was it you that who's never watched one?
I've not seen many.
You must have seen one. That's good. Departed?
No.
Casino?
Yeah.
Goodfellas?
Yeah.
Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
Mean Streets?
Nope.
Raging Bull?
Nope.
King of Comedy?
Nope.
Hugo?
Yes.
You've seen
enough.
I mean, that's just a scattering. Yeah. I don't want to go through everything.
I've seen enough. Casino was really good. Hugo was beautiful. Hugo was lovely.
Hugo is really good.
Really liked Hugo.
It's such a departure.
It is. Scorsese. Yeah, it's like Scorsese doing what? Oh, okay.
It's a really good film.
It is. It looks lovely. It's really well directed. Mm. And again, like Sacha Baron Cohen.
No, he's a good actor.
He's great in that.
Like, there's a lot of things I don't like about him, but he is a good actor.
He is, so definitely.
He's in some good films. Good films.
Yeah. I've got The Departed, actually. I borrowed it off Aaron at Technically Wrong to watch. So I need to get on it. Yep. Superfan Robbie Polanco.
At Shutter Island. Have you seen Shutter Island?
No, not seen that either.
I think you'd like that one.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. I'll have to get around to it. What's your favourite? Have you got one?
It really depends on my mood.
Okay.
It's the same. It's similar to the Coen brothers for me, where like I just like him.
Mm,
I like his sensibilities, so I'd end up liking most of his films.
Right.
So they all like become mucher and muchness in a weird way.
Yeah, makes sense.
But in a good way, obviously. Mm. But in a weird way.
I really like Wolf of Wall Street just because he's having so much fun. I think
it's good. Mm. It's a good film. I do feel it's a tad overlong though.
I really know, because I like to go with it and I enjoy it, and I just scene after scene will entertain me.
It's very good.
The casting in there is just amazing.
I need to see
it's very good.
Jonah Hill, Margot Robbie, Leo, they're all just such strong performances.
Yeah, definitely.
I've heard nothing but good. Superfan Robbie Polanco at Robbie_Polanco said, "Hurl custard and fish fingers at my face." He's catching up. He's going back through all the old episodes where we asked, "What would you like hurled in your face?"
All right. It was just a very specific request. He asks about
custard and fish fingers hurled in his face.
Like custard on the fish fingers, or like custard.
Or would you love
the
custard? Fish fingers have to come second, so they could stick.
So they stick.
Yeah, I had this argument. I went to a restaurant for my brother's birthday yesterday.
I like the idea that it was an actual argument.
It was an argument because it said on the dessert menu, carrot cake cheesecake, and he went, "Why would you call it carrot cake cheesecake?" And I went, "Aha, because." if you said carrot cheesecake, you would think that was a carrot cheesecake, and if you said cheese carrot cake, you'd think that was a cheesy carrot cake, but it's a carrot cake cheesecake.
Oh!
And he went, it doesn't make sense. Went, it does make it does. Sense, because I'm explaining it. Yeah.
Perfect
and
sense.
And then we were arguing, and I ruined his birthday.
Really, yeah.
No, I'm joking. No.
Ding, throwing ding, carrot
ding, 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 ding,
ding. No, it wasn't an argument. It was just a little, like bit of banter over the menu.
Robbie's catching up on the old episodes. He thinks we should commission Paisley Bones to start a petition for the Batman versus Superman movie idea that we were banding around.
Can't remember a conversation I had yesterday, let alone weeks ago.
He thought we were onto something. So
I think it's in reference to someone made a joke of Batman vs Superman, they should do a film on that.
Yeah,
and we all played in.
Pitched into it.
Yeah. They did one though!
What?
Stop Dark Knight Returns.
We mentioned Cannibal Holocaust. He said challenge accepted. So I think he's going to watch it based on our talk of ramblings. Ramblings? Oh, I'll go with it. Suicide.
We do ramble. I think it's fair.
Marginally coherent ramblings.
There you go.
We are the Batman vs Superman of podcasts.
Welcome to marginally coherent ramblings.
We've not enough dream sequence.
He watched Suicide Squad and said Baddies Tour City, 7 out of 10, and he liked your review of it.
Well, that's
from
what,
a while
that's
back.
That's basically our review of it.
Yeah. Pip Mason at Housebroken Geek played Journey on the PS4. So good. Glad I finally got to play it. It's a lovely game. It's available for a couple more days till the 8th of October, I believe. It's free on PlayStation Network. It is just a lovely visual. You're just this character in a floaty cape flying around, and it's just, it's beautiful and immersive and just a really nice game to play. So while it's free,
I still want you to play Inside.
You said it. You found it online. It was available.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I need to get it.
I played you a little bit of the Game Grumps playthrough when you were drunk,
but you
were sold on it anyway.
You did. It's 15 quid. Yeah,
Steve, you've almost got a hairy balaclava.
Almost.
Oh right.
Not quite, but almost.
Yeah,
it's pretty looking pretty good.
Thanks.
He's a very nice suit.
I took my glasses
off.
He suits the long hair and beard look really well.
I quite like him when he's short haired though.
No, I prefer long hair.
Not short hair for ages.
I definitely prefer him with a beard, but I think that's because I'm used to the beard.
The problem is when he goes through that kind of badgery stage where it's neither short nor long, and you've got
that
kind of like a bowl in your head.
But when he first has it cut, and it's quite striking,
like
he looks really nice. Why are we analysing?
Thanks. I don't know what. I'm just sat staring at a paper rocking going, don't do compliments.
Because I found my new thing now, because we wind him up constantly and he doesn't react, but that's what makes it fun. But when we compliment him, he squirms more.
It was funny.
So we're out of a new game here.
I was talking to a friend of ours, Simon, the other day, and he was saying, I listened to your podcast, it was really good, and I thank you. And he said, was there an atmosphere between Steve and Scott? And it was when you were not listening, pretending to not listen. I was like, no, that was kind of the joke, but I think sometimes even the joke annoys Steve.
Yeah.
Which is why we do it.
Yeah, exactly. I got asked about that, actually. Maybe it sounded like they were.
Yeah.
In the room, it wasn't.
I think Steve was just trying to get through.
Oh, it wasn't from me. Steve was probably furious. Yeah. But I was laughing. So it all worked out.
Dave at Wilbur Jr. 36 says, glad I'm not the only one who finds the Mega Man collection difficult. I mentioned a couple of weeks
ago.
Fucking hell. Fucking hot. Yeah, you've
I
played
had two
it
minutes and I was like, fuck this game. Fuck it in its arse. Yeah. It's just the
really?
Most difficult. Ridiculously difficult. Yeah. And you go, oh, cool. I've defeated a baddie. Actually, I'll just go grab. Oh, no, he's back again. Because it just respawns constantly.
Yeah. But that's the appeal of, like, those sort of gem
games. Did I finish that as a child? I finished all the levels.
But it goes naught to impossible. It's not like Mario, where at least there's a gradual build up through the levels. Whereas Mega Man's like, what? No. Mega Man don't have it
you
easy.
Need to feel that sense of progression or else you just feel so utterly defeated.
Oh, there isn't. Yeah. This is just £10 worth of no. Fuck off. But yeah, and he also said Iron Man remains my favourite Marvel and Guardians.
Yeah.
We mentioned
classic,
the other week.
Classics.
Yeah. Lord of the tweets are Muthridge, Muthridge Caniv at M3JCMB. Contrary to in-house protesting, I'm completely fine with the exuberant naming going on, and he's added it to his Twitter bio.
My protest is not of you getting names. It is purely that there's no like,
consultation.
There's no consultation. Happens. Steve just takes it upon himself to name
it. He's the guy who does.
You leave me in charge of the tweets.
So he just goes. I'm going to just
couple
do
of hours
this.
A week. Because go
let's
Twitter.
Be honest, if we brought it to a table and debated who should have what name, you'd be like, I want a name. I want that name.
And that's why I'm upset.
That's why you don't have nicknames.
Guys, remember when you called me Aces?
Rebecca at Arbitrary Genius said, I wasn't going to bake until the 29th, but, and there was a link to Den of Geek with a labyrinth cake that looked amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
She also baked the...
she did.
Yeah, Luke Cage cake.
She did, yeah. On This Week, the Geeks have baked at 4:30 a.m. and ready for Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage?
Not quite the same show.
The
there.
New Marvel season. Nicolas Cage.
Wow.
What the fuck? But yeah.
Well, Nicolas Cage must have unbreakable skin as well at this point. Yeah. So.
I think a cake should be made of the famous Nick Cage face.
Have you seen the Facebook page I've started following? Nicolas Cage's face on everything.
It's just brilliant.
He's the
most meme-worthy actor, though.
He really is.
Do you think he's aware that he's like...
Yeah.
He's just deluded.
No, I don't know.
Probably a bit of both. Paze at Paisy Bones.
Paisy Pusey. Pussy Pie.
See, I'm doing it.
Nice. If you're looking for a game to play, I made a drinking game. It was a card game a few years ago. Got it printed but never released it.
Sent us
a picture and I'm up. Yeah, I'm in.
Sold. Sounds interesting.
We're going to film something. We're going to get a camera set up.
Yeah.
And we're going to sit down and get wasted.
Play a game.
Oh, yeah. Cool. That guy we mentioned, that Mike at Mike Fathers.
Oh, him.
Yeah. He sent us a link to a news story. Samuel L. Jackson is keen on more Unbreakable. He's keen on a sequel and has said that it was supposed to be a trilogy and he'd happily make more. Unbreakable was the M. Night Shyamalan movie that came out sort of before the big wave of superhero movies.
It's incredibly underrated superhero movie.
It is. It's good.
Because people like forget about it because it's not based on anything and it's not even set up like a superhero movie. But it's just a really cool, slow-burning... drama, superhero. I never saw sequels in it, actually. I see it as just a cool one-off.
Yeah, because it's just very...
I'd certainly watch it. But it ended in one of those, like, and then this happened, and then this happened, sort of scrolling text. So that doesn't lend itself to a franchise to me.
Not really, no.
We were talking earlier of Bruce Knees, Bruce Wayne, and Bruce Willis now.
Bruce Willis.
I've never had a bruise on my willy. I wonder what that's like.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
God.
We all took a moment there to go.
What would it be like, and how would you bruise it? Let us know. Amy Marshall, at that Amy person, sent us a picture of a Lego Pokemon prize that she won from at MiniFigsMe. Congratulations again.
Oh, my God.
Glad you were happy.
MiniFigsMe have done a Princess Mononoke diorama.
Really?
With all the little tree spirits, and it looks fantastic, and I want it.
Nice. Superfan Robbie Planko's back with some more tweets. You had me at Hellboy from the other episode.
He's catching up.
And your full review of Suicide Squad was so accurate. Glad you didn't hate it.
We loved it. We
loved it. It didn't deserve the rap it got.
Nope.
I think we're pretty unanimous on that.
We are indeed.
Very watchable.
Thank you for all your tweets.
What? Yeah, thank you very much for interacting. You can find us on Twitter at Weekly Geek Speak, and please do tweet along. We love a good tweet along.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more, but in the meantime, you can subscribe on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, and Podcastland. We are part of the PodPals network, Closer to Midnight and ABH podcast are currently running on there, as well as Making Habits of the Modern Geek, and probably some more, which is looking nice. Stinking Paws, there we are, they are fantastic. But yeah, there's loads of other ones in there as well. Atterbury Sea thingy. But I don't know if he's brought anything out recently. Well, he's working on
stuff. Yeah, he's working on some
stuff.
Really good stuff.
But yeah, words and things, and yeah, join us in on iTunes Speakers. Blah, 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 blah. I've lost it, Steve.
That's it, it's gone. Join us iTunes Speakers. Stitcher Podcast Land, thank you for coming.